Shalom Aleichem for Parshas Vayera. We have seven Divrei Torah. We are going to start almost at the way beginning of the Parsha, Perek Yudches, Pasuk Beis, Vayar. V'hinei shlosha anashim nitzavim alav. Avraham Avinu had his bris milah, third day, very painful. He looks up, there are three people standing in the distance, standing there. And Rashi comments as follows, why three? These were actually not people, although they looked like Arabs. But they were malachim, they were angels on a mission. Why three of them? So Rashi explains, Echad Avaser at Sarah, one to give the good news that Sarah is going to be giving birth to a baby boy within the year. And the second one, Ve'echad Lahafoch et Stom, the second one was going to destroy Stom. Ve'echad L'rapo says Avram, the third one to bring a refuah shalema to Avram Avinu. And Rashi continues to explain, why can't we have one malach? Why do we need three separate malachim? Because one malach cannot have two missions. Each has to have its own individual separate mission. Ein malach echad osei shtei shluchuyos. One malach cannot do two missions. Accordingly, each has its own mission. One for the news of Sarah, one to destroy Sodom, and the third one to give a refuah shleima to Avram. And then, interestingly, Rashi continues that Raphael was the one who was going to give a refuah shleima to Avram. That's Raphael. And he was going on there to save Lot. Seems a little bit contradictory here. We say that we're going to have each individual malach its own mission, but then we're sending Raphael basically to do. He's going to take care of Ram, and a little bit later, true that he's going to do it at different times, he's going to go and save Lot. So there's an interesting story about Rav Shlomo Kluger when he was appointed to be the Rav of Brod. So he got there first day on the job. He was given a kibbutz to be a sandik at a bris. And when he got to the place where the bris was, he found out the terrible news that the father of the baby was a goses. A goses was, he was about to pass away. And in Broad, they had a strange minhag that when you had the situation that you had a close relative, like a father of the baby who was going to be passing away in short order, they would delay the bris. And they would do that in order to be able to name the baby boy after the father. So he was found out that the bris is off, and we're going to wait till the father passes away. And Rav Shlomo Kluger did not take kindly to that idea. And he said, gather together a minion, we're doing the bris right now. And that's what happened. Immediately they gathered together, they did the bris. The new Rav is in town, we have to adhere to his requirements. So it was limited bris because it had been canceled. 10 people, they did the bris, and miraculously thereafterward, the father of that baby, who was a goses, about to pass away, he had a refuah shalema. Refuah shalema, totally better. And they asked the Rav, what's going on here? Amazing, miraculous. We thought we were getting a Rav and we're getting a miracle worker. So Rav Shlomo Kluger says, and I have to tell you, I learned this from the Rashi that we just mentioned before. The Rashi is a little bit strange because it says that they had one malach that gave a refuah shleima to Avram, and then it went on to save Lot. Why didn't they send a fourth malach to Lot? There are plenty of malachim in Shemayim. Why do we have to reuse a malach? We're just supposed to have, each malach is supposed to have his own mission. So we're using, reusing the malach, Raphael, to go and to save Lot. So he says as follows, this is how I understand this Rashi, what was going on here is Lot, he did not have the schus, he did not have the merit to have his own angel make that trip down to him to save him. And accordingly, because there was already a malach that was there, Raphael was there to give a refuah shleima to Avram, we're just going to hitchhike on that, and we're going to send the same malach to go save Lot, because otherwise Lot wasn't worthy. So if we're able to hitchhike, we'll do it. Otherwise not. Here we have this malach, and it's in the same vein. We have the malach that's giving a refuah shleima to Avram Avinu. He's able to save. That's a form of refuah shleima, Lot. Okay, we'll send him along. And Rav Shlomo Kluger says that same thing seems to be here. We have a father who's a goses. He's about to pass away. Apparently, they are judging him right now. Right at the time that the bris was canceled, father is a goses, they're judging him and looking into his merits and demerits. And apparently, it could very well be that he did not merit to have Eliyahu Hanavi bring him a refuah shleima, so that father was going to pass away. And accordingly, I said, we need to do this milah right now, because I know that for certain, for a bris milah, Eliyahu Hanavi is going to come. And I thought we'd be able to hitchhike as well, that Eliyahu HaNavi would not come independently for this father. He didn't have the schus, apparently. But if Eliyahu HaNavi was already coming for the Bris Milah, we'd be able to hitchhike on that, and we'd be able to deliver a refuah shalema to the father as well. And that's what happened. And that was Rav Shlomo Kluger's explanation of Arashi, that Lot didn't have the schuyos, didn't have the merits, but that malach came nonetheless for Avram, and that's why that same malach was used in order to matzil, in order to save Lot from Sdom. We are now moving on to number two. We are in the next pasuk, Perek Yudches, pasuk Gimel, Vayomer, etc. Avram Avinu says to the malachim, Al Nasa Avor Me'al Avdecha, please don't pass away, please stick around. And Rashi, it's actually Gemara, says as follows, Mikan, Shegedola Hachnasas Orchim Yoser Mikabalas Bnei Hashechina. From here we learn that to do Machnis Orchim, to do the mitzvah of bringing in guests, is actually a bigger mitzvah than even greeting the Shechina, greeting God, having a discussion with God. Kabbalas Bnei Hashechina, because why? Because Avram Avinu said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I got to go tend to my guests. Apparently, that takes the priority. Hachnasas Orchim takes the priority of greeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So the Baal Shem Tov asks an interesting question. He says, what's the nafkamina for us? Now, we're not out there being mekabel pnei Hashechina like Avram was, that he has this difficult difficult decision. Should he do Hachnasas Orchim or not? For us, obviously, do Hachnasas Orchim. So what's this coming to teach us? That there are priorities, and the priority is going to be Hachnasas Orchim when you have something counteracting it. So the Baal Shem Tov says beautifully, you may want to think, Hachnasas Orchim, there are actually sometimes that it's not so easy, or there may be involved with things that are not positive. For example, you have to be Mevatel Yitor. If you're going to have guests, the meal is going to go for 3 hours on Shabbos instead of an hour, hour and a half. It's going to be Mevatel Yitor. You could have been learning all that time. Or when you have guests, you bring in foreigners into the house, and it could be there's a risk that they're going to talk Lashon Hara. There's going to be a little bit hushed Lashon Hara. Without them, I don't have to take that risk. Nonetheless, as the Baal Shem Tov, we learn from Avram Avinu that the priority was Hachnasas Orchim, even more important than greeting God himself. And the relevant message for us is even then when we have relevant and even real reasons to not have Hachnasas Orchim, that it's going to take me away from doing other positive things like learning, it's going to risk Lashon Hara at the Shabbos table, says the Baal Shem Tov, still, the priority we learn from Avram Avinu is Hachnasas Orchim. That is going to be the priority, even though we are going to have to compromise in other areas. We are now moving forward. A couple more psukim. This is number three. It's Perek Yudches, Pasuk Hei, Vakcha, Pas Lechem. I'm going to take for you Pas Lechem, bread made of wheat. V'sa'adu libchem achar tavoro, and you will be able to satiate yourself, and afterward you can go. Tavoro, you can go on afterwards. So, Chachamim Chazal tell us that there was actually a discussion, and we'll get back to our pasuk in a little bit, between Turnus Rufus and Rebbe Akiva. And Turnus Rufus was actually saying, why are you doing a bris milah? I disagree with this concept of bris milah. Why? God created us apparently perfectly. God is perfect, creates us perfectly. So why are you removing the foreskin when we were created with it? That was the taina that Turnus Rufus had to Rebbe Akiva. And Rebbe Akiva, in explaining it, saying that indeed God has given us times that we need to work. We need to make a tikkun. We need to make an improvement to change. And he says, I'll give you an example. From chitim and sorim, when it comes to wheat and barley, the grains that grow in the field, it's not as if they're usable immediately. We have to clean them off. We have to take the chaff off. We need to peel them. We need to grind them. We need to do the chinah. We need to bake them. There are a lot of processes that what we do, we have to go through in order to have food. That's a tikkun. And says Rabbi Akiva to Turnus Rufus, the same thing by the milah. We were made in a certain way, and we have to make a tikkun. We need to fix it, an improvement on it, and God gives that to us in order that we need to be involved in this world and improve things, and he wants that involvement by us. So let's go back to Avram Avinu. Obviously, Turnus Rufus and Rabbi Akiva were many, many years later. We're going back to Avram Avinu, and Avram here has these three Arabs approaching, and he says, on his mind, they're going to be making a tain. I just had my bris milah, and they're going to be saying, what are you doing having a bris milah? What are you changing what God created? God created us perfectly, and you're changing things. What do you think? He gave us something extraneous, an orla, a foreskin. And he was anticipating that conversation that he's about to have with these three malachim. And what does he say? In order to cut it off at the pass, v'akcha pas lechem. I know I'm going to have this conversation. I'm going to take for you pas lechem. That's wheat. In order to make this wheat, we had to have the kernels of the grain. And we had to clean off the chaff. And we needed to grind. We needed to do all this stuff. And he's already refuting the conversation that he's about to have with them. V'akcha pas lechem. This is the proof. This is explaining why at a bris mila we need a tikkun in the body, we need a tikkun in the bread. V'achar tavoru, and after you see, after you learn the message of pas lechem, that God does want in our involvement in this world, and he does want our improving of the world. V'achar tavoru, after you've learned this message, and the message of v'achar tavoru, after you remove it, lavor is the havir, after you take it out of your mind, this improper thought that God doesn't want us to have the bris milah, God doesn't want us improving ourselves, then you can go on. So again, v'akcha pas lechem, I'm going to take for you pas lechem, I'm going to prove to you from pas lechem, from the wheat that we need to improve, that is going to v'achar tavoru, that is going to remove from you that in your thoughts that opinion that we shouldn't be having that bris milah. We are now moving forward to number four, Vayigash Avraham, we're in Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Chav Gimel, Vayigash Avraham Vayomer Ha'afti Spet Tzadikim Rasha. This is now Avraham Avinu has been informed that Sodom is going to be destroyed. And Avraham Avinu starts negotiating for them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how are you going to do this? You're going to destroy the Tzadikim with the Rashaim. Now what's interesting is Avraham Avinu was the pinnacle of Chesed. That's who he was. That's what he defined. That's what he taught the world. Chesed. Sodom was the exact opposite. Sodom was the nemesis, the enemy to that concept of chesed. Don't do for others, do for yourself, do bad to others. And we would have thought, and with reason, that Avraham Avinu would in fact be elated, be delighted when he hears that Sodom is going to be attacked and destroyed, because Sodom was indeed the enemy of all of his teachings. And indeed, the logical thing would be to be happy when you hear that Sodom is going to be destroyed. But Avram, he wasn't happy. Not only was he not happy, now he's davening for them, to be mevatel the gzeira against them. He's negotiating on their behalf. So this doesn't seem to make any sense. So what's going on inside Avram Avinu's wines? This is Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, who explains as follows, that Avram is thinking, anyone who is happy with the downfall of your enemy, Sodom, we may not like the enemy. The enemy may be terrible. But nonetheless, being happy with the downfall of someone indeed is the view of Sodom. Even though it's not full because we're getting rid of people who are terrible, but it is a scintilla. It's a spark of Sodom for me to be thinking and to be happy that my enemy should be destroyed. Accordingly, because if he had that thought, he would indeed be continuing the teachings of Sodom. Avraham Avinu said, that can't be my reproach. I can't be happy with their destruction, but rather what I'm going to do is I'm going to daven for them. And the tefillah was as follows, not that they should be saved fully, but itamu, so based on the pasuk, itamu chatai min arts, that their sins should be expunged from the land. There's a drasha on that in the Gemara, Yitama Chataim, and it doesn't say chotim, that those who sinned should be removed. It doesn't say the evil should be removed. Those who are evil, evil people should be removed, but their sins, Yitamu chotim, it says Yitama Chataim, it says their sins should be removed, but not those who are sinners. So that's what Avraham Avinu was praying for when it comes to Sodom. Don't destroy Sodom. Don't destroy the people of Sodom, but remove the Sodom from them. Remove the sins from them, and then they'll be tzaddikim. They won't be rishayim. We are now continuing with number five. Number five is a little bit complicated. I hope I can say this clearly. So we see how Avraham Avinu viewed himself. It's a Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Chaf Zayin, and it says, V'anochi afar va'efer. Avraham Avinu says about himself that I am afar with the ayin, and that means I'm like ground, I'm like dirt, I'm like the dust of the ground. So I'm dirt that you plant things in. And not only that, I am Afer. Afer is ash. And the Beis Halevi brings as follows, that these are very different materials, and there's a very deep message here. When it comes to afar, when it comes to dirt, dirt is something that has no chashivus, has no significance vis-a-vis the past. But its significance is vis-a-vis the future, that it can be used to plant. It can be used to grow. It can be used to bring beautiful growth to the world, fruits and vegetables, and it can bring real multiplication in the world. And it leads us on to plow and to grow and to feed and to eat. That is what is significant when it comes to afar, when it comes to dirt. It is significant vis-a-vis the future but not the past. And when it comes to afar, which is ash, it's the reverse. When it comes to ash, ash has zero significance going forward. You can't do something with it. It's useless. It's futile to try to grow in ash, but it was something before it was burned. It was something significant in the past. So ash represents something that was significant in the past, but is not significant going forward. And that's what Avraham Avinu is saying as he looked at himself. I am so insignificant vis-a-vis the past and vis-a-vis the future. Vanachi afar, I am just like the dirt that has no significance going back. And I'm like the ash that has no significance going forward. And so the Beis Halevi goes on to say that it's because of this view of Avraham Avinu about himself, that he was given in the schus, in his schus, Chazal tell us, we were given two mitzvahs, the afar of the sota, the dirt of the sota. What happens when we have a sota, the woman that we are concerned, the husband is concerned that she was not loyal to him. So you take some dirt and you mix it together with water and you have her drink it. And also the afer of the para aduma, the afer is the ash of the para aduma. And what that is that you burn the para aduma and you sprinkle the ashes on somebody after you mix it together with water, etc. And that is going to purify the person. And it's a midah keneged midah, this view that Avraham Avinu had himself of afar and afer. I have no use for afar and afer, that he was given these, the afar of the sota and the afer of the para aduma as follows. Because Avraham Avinu, he supplicated, he subjugated himself, he was very humble, and he looked, I wouldn't say he looked down upon himself, but he didn't look up to himself. He really was a very modest. And Sheish Bilatzmo Afar, just like Afar, he really viewed himself as the dirt and the earth, that he has no use, significance going back, that he doesn't have a significance in it, when we're looking in the prior, what he had done till that time. Because of that, he was given the mitzvah of afar sota. The afar of the sota is the dirt of the sota, that you take of the dirt and you give the sota to drink. What is the afar of the sota? Hasui levarar dafka davar mina afar. It's coming to teach us what happened in the past, if this woman indeed had sinned with somebody else or not. So that is because of Avraham Avinu looking down upon himself effectively for the past. We are giving something that shows afar sota, does something significant in the past that we want to prove whether she was indeed loyal to her husband or not. And when it came to when Avraham Avinu was mashpil, when he was humble, when it comes to the afer, when it came to the ash, because of his saying that I am choser, I am totally lacking on a going forward basis, that I can't do anything, just like ash doesn't have significance going forward. That's me, says Avraham Avinu. Because of that, he was zoche for the mitzvah, for Klal Yisrael, of the Afer Para, the Para Aduma, the ash that was given to the Para Aduma, that indeed did mimatar, it would improve, it would purify people on a going forward basis. And the message, obviously, here, Avraham Avinu looked down upon himself, he was mashpil himself, he subjugated himself, he was modest and of amazing modesty going back and going forward. But we're telling Avraham Avinu, you have significance going back and going forward, and because of this, we were zochet to the mitzvahs of Afar Sota and the Afar of the Para Uduma. We are now moving on to number 6. It says in Perek Yutes, Pasuk Bey, Suruna, El Beis Avdechem, we have Lot living in Sodom, in the depravity of stone, and he has the two malachim now come to him, and he tells them, Suruna, come quickly into my house. And the focus here is on the word bayis. He says, come into his house, because that contrasts with Avraham Avinu when he told the malachim, he didn't say, come into my house, anat avor, me'al avdecha, don't pass by me, I'm your eved. And question is, so why do we have Lot saying bias and we have Avraham Avinu not saying bias? So I say it's an interesting word in the name of a certain chassid, a chassid echad. And it goes as follows. When Avraham Avinu had a guest, Immediately when there was a guest there, he was no longer the Baal HaBayis. This was no longer his house. So that concept for Avram Avinu of coming to my house didn't exist. Because when there's a guest, it's not him. It's not his house, it's the guest's house. And in addition, not only that, when he had those guests, it immediately made him their Mesharet. It made him their servant. He became their Evet. So that's why when it came to Lot, Lot was still the Baal HaBayis coming to my house. When it came to Avram, when I have a guest, I'm no longer the Baal HaBayis. The guest is the Baal HaBayis. Accordingly, he didn't say, come into my house. And now we're moving forward to number 7. We're in Perek Chaf Beis Pasuk Yul Aleph. Vayikra Lav Malach Hashem Min HaShamayim. We're at the Akedas Yitzchak. And as known, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the tzivui to Avram Avinu to shecht, to slaughter his own beloved son, Yitzchak Avinu. So the tzivui, the shechita, was from Hashem. But the reversal of that tzivui, to say, don't do it, that was via a malach, that was an angel, but was not via Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the question is, what do we learn from that? What's the message that the tzivoy, shchita by Hashem, but to stop was by a malach? So the Dvash HaSada says something beautifully we have as a remez here, that if somebody wants to cause damage to another, the only reason you can do something bad to someone is if you actually hear it, not even from a malach, you heard it from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A Kadosh Baruch Hu told you to do something, even if it's to somebody else's detriment, even if it's to shecht your own son, that's what you can act on. But absent a tzivoy, absent an explicit commandment by a Kadosh Baruch Hu to damage somebody, to cause somebody harm, that should not be done, even if it's a malach telling you to do it. On the other hand, to refrain from doing something, we don't need to hear that from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. To refrain from doing something evil, negative, to somebody else, even if it's just a malach, even if it's anybody, apparently, that would suffice. But to do that, to refrain from evil, we don't need to hear it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.